Are you so busy depending on yourself to make ends meet that you're not trusting God to meet your needs? Hi, I'm Rob West. When you leave God out of the equation, things just don't add up. Today, we'll talk about trusting God with your money matters. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I'm sure you've heard the term the bottom line. In business, it's the final total on the balance sheet. Once the income is counted and the bills are paid, for you and me, the bottom line is what's left in the bank account after our obligations are met. Sometimes it doesn't seem like enough, does it? If you're concerned about your financial bottom line today, let me remind you of another kind of bottom line, a spiritual one. For believers in Jesus, the true bottom line is our identity in Christ. This is where our peace comes from. Maybe you know the old hymn that says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. When we belong to Jesus, our spiritual balance sheet says we don't owe a thing for our sin. He paid the price in our place, so we can relax knowing God is our protector and provider, and yet we still worry about money problems sometimes. Jesus understood this tendency we have to worry about the future. In Matthew 6, Jesus reminded his followers that fretting about material things is unnecessary because of who God is. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? Jesus told his disciples and us that we can be confident in God's love and provision, no matter what our circumstances are. After all, is your worry really helping you accomplish your financial goals? You can trust God to take care of you and your family. It's a fact that people will let you down, but God never will. That's because God is completely trustworthy. Numbers 23:19 puts it this way, "But God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through?" Human beings can be changeable, unreliable, and untruthful. But the Lord is unchanging, as well as loving and good. He always fulfills his promises according to his word. When he promises to protect, guide, and provide for his children, we can believe he means it. In addition to being trustworthy, God is all-powerful. God is for us, it says in Romans 8:31. Who can be against us? There's a memorable example of God's power in 2 Kings 6. Back then, Israel was at war with Syria. Things were going badly for Syria because the prophet Elisha was revealing their battle strategies to the king of Israel. This annoyed the Syrian king so much that he sent an army to find and kill Elisha. Elisha's servant woke up one morning to see a horde of enemies surrounding the town where they were staying. He was understandably terrified. Now, let me pick up at 2 Kings 6, verse 15. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elisha said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, all around Elisha. In the end, the Israelites captured their enemies, and the Syrians pretty much left the Israelites alone after that. Now, as you can see from this story, our God is a powerful Savior. Judging from the visible circumstances, Elisha's servant assumed they were outnumbered, surrounded, and doomed. When his spiritual eyes were opened, he understood that God's greater army was right there the whole time. Like Elisha's servant, when we take our eyes off our circumstances and focus on the Lord instead, our confidence and peace are restored. Jesus said in John 16:33, "I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So remember that your spiritual bottom line is your identity in Christ. Your financial bottom line shouldn't be a source of worry, but an opportunity to put your trust in an almighty God. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Everyone knows about Mother's Day, but March 12th is Working Mother's Day. Thinking back to my own childhood, I can't think of anyone who worked harder than my mom did. Her hands were busy almost every moment of the day. The book of Proverbs devotes many verses to celebrating godly women, and many include those who were clearly working mothers. Proverbs 31, 27, and 28, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And so a working mom is a blessed mom, and if you know one, be sure and encourage her and thank her today. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. The lines will fill up, so now's the time to get in. If you have a financial question on any aspect of your financial life, living, giving, owing, or growing God's money, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Have you ever thought about the fact that we're to be a pipeline and not a bucket? Here's what I mean by that. You know, God's provision flows through to us. Remember, we're his stewards or money managers. He owns everything. It's not just that 10% is his, 100% is his. We see that clearly in God's word. Among other verses from Psalms, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." That's pretty clear. So it all belongs to God. He then entrusts however much or however little to us, and so it flows to us. The question is, does it stop with us or does it keep going? You see, if we're a bucket, God's provision stops with us and we consume all that he gives to us. But we want to be a pipeline where God's provision flows through us to God's activity. Well, how does that work? Well, that's our giving and our generosity. You know, think about this. Money is one of God's good creations if it's put in the proper context. That is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And when we look to Scripture, we see that we're to enjoy what God has given us. We're to live with contentment, but we're also to provide for the needs of our family. So I think it's enjoyment, contentment, provision. But then there's the aspect of generosity that just kind of leaps off the page in the Old and New Testament, that as we're created in the image of the ultimate giver, God himself, we're to be givers as well. And in doing so, I think we do a couple of things. Number one, we in a sense calibrate our hearts to the Father's. Number two, we give as a reflection of God being generous to us. Number three, it's an act of worship. I think when we give, we're participating in God's activity. And when we give, we're demonstrating our trust in God as provider. Because you see, if we thought every dollar coming our way was dependent upon us, we'd probably hold everything we got with a clenched fist. But because we know God is our provider and he can be trusted, well, we can loosen our grip and allow our money to, or God's money to, flow through us as a pipeline into God's activity. But the reality of that is there's incredible joy that comes as we give, as we participate in God's grand story from everlasting to everlasting. We're allowed to be active participants in that. God gives us that privilege as we give to the things that he is up to. Well, today, as you think about managing God's money, consider that. Am I being a pipeline where, yes, I'm enjoying, and yes, I'm providing, and yes, I'm living with contentment, but I'm also giving generously? And if not, what's holding me back? Perhaps a little later in the broadcast today, I can share a few of the things that I've experienced that hold us back from our giving. I think there's five of them that I've identified over the years, and I'll share those with you. But let's get to your phone calls today. I'm ready to dive in with anything you're thinking about today financially, whether it's your credit card debt you want to pay off, or the giving that you'd like to accelerate. Maybe it's your long-term savings and investments, or it's just living on budget, getting that plan in place and controlling the flow of money. Whatever it is, give us a call. Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, we're going to begin today in Illinois. Collins, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Our situation is my wife has about a little under half a million in a 401k, and it's a targeted fund for 2025. She'll be retiring in the next 5 years. And she was looking at maybe reallocating some of that money to a 2035, 2045 fund. This money is not vital for us to live on. We have other pension money that is going to take care of our basic needs. So she was looking at maybe getting a higher rate of return by taking more risk.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she wanted your advice on that.
Yeah. Well, I like that a lot. And that's one simple way that you can do that, is just by pushing that date out. You know, my experience is that those target date funds tend to be a little bit more conservative than, I would like to see. I mean, often a 2025 target date fund, you know, may have a good bit more, perhaps even as much as 90% in bonds. And, you know, you want to obviously get a little bit more aggressive, given that the fact that, number one, you don't need the money right now, so you have the ability to take a longer time horizon on it. Number two, people are living longer. And given that, we're seeing the need, especially with inflation where it's been, to continue to keep a growth element in our portfolio, perhaps beyond what we might have considered previously, just given, you know, the longevity that we have now because of medical advances. finances. And so we used to take the number 100. It was called the rule of 100. We'd take the number 100, subtract your age, and that would be, you know, what you would have in stocks, and then you'd have the balance in fixed income. So you go through that exercise, typical retiree at 65, you would end up with 35, and then that's the portion you'd put in equities, and then you'd have the balance 65% in bonds. As a starting point, that doesn't replace you really thinking through your goals and objectives and risk tolerance, but could give you just kind of a benchmark. Now, by pushing that out to 110 minus your age, which is what most folks are doing now, most advisors will tell you is the new starting point because of our longevity. Well, that just bumps that up. That 65-year-old's now got 45% in stocks and only 55% in bonds. Maybe you take five off of each and put it into precious metals. But the idea is that we're getting a little bit more aggressive, still, you know, slightly more than half in bonds. But because, you know, we need to plan for this money to last through age 95 plus, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, then, you know, that gives you the ability to keep that growing. So I think, yeah, pushing it out 10 years on the target date fund would accomplish that. I think one of the things you could do is each target date fund is a little different in terms of their mix of stocks to bonds. And so you could look at that and just use that 110 minus her age as a guideline just to say, you know, how is my target date fund going to break down stocks to bonds if I go out another decade? What you probably will find is it's about right. So I think that's a good plan. And then, you know, I think as she separates from her employer, the question is going to be, do I leave it there and just let it ride in the 401k's target date fund, or do I roll it out to an IRA? And then I have the option to either replicate what I was doing in the 401k with a new target date fund, except you'll have a lot more to choose from, or do I hire an advisor at that point? Because this is a significant sum of money you all have amassed, and you obviously want to manage it well. But give me your thoughts on all that, Collins.
Well, that sounds great. The fact that we don't need to tap into it for a long time makes stretching out the date a great idea.
Yeah.
And we can take the risk. So, yeah, I like that.
Very good. You know, I think the other thing to consider is just whether or not this is the time to look at a long-term care insurance policy. You know, that's probably the biggest risk in this next season of life, is that one of you would need some long-term care for, you know, on average somewhere between 2 and 3 years. And, you know, full nursing care can run you $9,000-$10,000 a month. And so you could go through your assets. Now, it's not cheap. These policies are pricey and they can go up. So you need to have room in your budget to absorb those increases. But that might be something to look at between ages 55 and 65. Other than that, sounds like you guys are in good shape. Hey, thanks for being on the program today, sir. Call anytime if we can help. Phone lines are open, folks. 800-525-7000. Call right now. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Sometimes it can be hard to catch each live broadcast. This could be due to your job, school, or just life in general. We understand, which is why you don't have to miss out. The AFR podcast page is where you can find all of your favorite shows. Whether it's old or new, you can listen and download each broadcast that you've missed, including the ones you've already heard. Just visit the podcast page at afr.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Our hope is that we can be an encouragement to you, but also give you some practical ideas on how you can make wise decisions as a faithful steward in your financial life. So whatever's on your mind today, give us a call. We've got lines open. We'll go back to the phones here in just a moment. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. I'd love to hear from you today. You can call right now. You know, I was sharing a moment ago in the last segment about giving that, you know, my desire for you is that you would be a pipeline and not a bucket. That God's provision would not stop with you flowing into that bucket and ending there. Now, a portion will as we provide and as we enjoy, but the idea is that you would be a pipeline where a portion of God's provision would flow through you into God's activity. That's your giving. What are the barriers to giving for Christians? Well, I've identified five of them that I think will often come up. See if one of these is true in your life, and I'm talking to myself here as well, because I think these are things we can, with intentionality, overcome. The first one is giving without a plan is often a barrier. And that just simply means I will never give beyond my, or I will never maximize my giving without a plan to do so. Yeah, there's a place for spontaneous giving. You see somebody on your path and you slip them some cash, or you run into somebody that's just in a need, or you hear about a need in your neighborhood or in your church and you respond. That's great. We should do that. But for our serious giving, if you will, we need to have a plan, because the ability to work that into our spending plan, systematic giving, is going to require some effort. The ability to give off of our out of our balance sheet instead of just cash flow is going to require a plan. Here's the reality there. And this is something I think a lot of folks miss, is that 80% of giving is done in the form of cash. Think about your paycheck flowing through your checking account, your cash flow, and you give out of that. That's where 80% of giving is done. Well, guess what? Only 20% of our wealth is typically held in the form of cash, which means 80% of our wealth is held in the form of assets. It's on our balance sheet. How often do we give off of our balance sheet? Hardly ever. So we're missing potentially our greatest opportunity for giving, because we're not looking to our balance sheet. It's appreciated stock. It's real estate. It's a piece of art. It's a collectible. It's a car. You know, those are the assets that actually could be given. And if they're given before they're sold, we can avoid paying taxes on them, capital gains taxes. We get a bigger deduction. We get more into God's economy, and the ministry or charity or your church gets the full value of the sale of the asset. Nobody pays any capital gains tax. So giving without a plan is going to be a barrier to you giving the maximum amount that you can. That's number one of five. I'll share a few more a little later in the broadcast. Let's get back to the phones, though. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, let's go to Arkansas. Jeremy, thank you for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, good morning to the natural state.
Awesome. Thanks for calling.
Listen, first-time caller, thank you for what you do. I enjoy your program as often as I can listen to it.
I appreciate
it. My question was, could you offer a clear opinion on what a money market account is versus another safe investment like CDs or IRAs?
Yes, absolutely. So a money market account is simply a type of account offered by a bank or a credit union that is a safe place to put your money and carries with it FDIC insurance in just about every case. So it's an interest bearing account. You make a deposit into the money market. The bank or institution then takes that money and puts that to work either by loaning it out at a higher interest rate to somebody else. And that's typically the way that happens. A money market account would be very similar to a savings account or a CD in that, like a savings account, it's very liquid. It comes with check writing privileges, which both savings and money markets typically have. You earn a higher rate of interest, especially if you're using an online bank, and it's FDIC insured, which just means it's simply backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. And so you have that security there that you're not going to lose money and you're going to have liquidity to it. The downside of a money market, perhaps versus a savings account, is that often they have a higher minimum balance and there might be limits on the monthly transactions, meaning how many times, you can pull money out of the account if you're using it as, a savings account that you're pulling money out of regularly, that you could have some limits there. In terms of a money market or a savings versus a CD, the big change there is no check writing privileges and you're locking up the money in the CD for a certain period of time. So if it's a 6-month CD, you're basically without a penalty losing access to the money for 6 months. 1-year CD, the same would go for a year. The only other distinction I would draw you to is a money market account versus a money market fund or a money market mutual fund. The money market account is offered by a bank or a credit union and carries that FDIC insurance. That money market mutual fund is a basket of money market accounts and often doesn't carry the FDIC insurance. So it doesn't have the backing of the U.S. government. So you just need to understand the distinction there. But does that provide some clarity to you, Jeremy?
Oh, very much so. Thank you very much. Just one further question.
Yeah.
Am I understanding correctly with a money market account that deposits can be made into that money market account, unlike a CD, which typically, once it's locked in, the balance stays the same?
Absolutely. Yeah. You got it. Yeah, money can flow in and out of that money market account in the same way that it would with a savings account. So think about a money market like a savings account versus a CD where it's a one-time purchase. Hey, God bless you, Jeremy. Thanks for listening and for your kind remarks about the program. Rick, coming your way after the break. More lines open at 800-525-7000. Stick around.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. And the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity, and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, by the way, if you're looking for a great study for your small group, you tackle topical studies in your men's or women's or couples small group, and you're looking for something that's deeply rooted in scripture, that's practical and relevant to your life, well, let me suggest our brand new study called Rich Toward God. It's a 4-week study on the parable of the rich fool. It deals with what is true abundance and the uncertainty of tomorrow and what it means to live rich toward God. And we just came out with it just in the last several weeks. It's getting great reviews, and I'm so encouraged by just even the feedback we're getting from folks saying this is really helping to tackle some really important issues related to the way I view money and my heart, and some practical handles that I can use from God's word to really think about how I look at and view God's money. And if you'd like to check it out, you can find it on our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click on the shop at the top of the page, and you can buy a copy of the brand new, beautiful 4-week study, Rich Toward God, and perhaps use it in your small group. By the way, if you buy 10 or more for your group at church, you can get 25% off. And so we'd love for you to check it out. Again, faithfi.com. Just click shop. All right, before we head back to the phones here today, I was talking about some of the barriers to giving. We want to be a pipeline with God's activity, not a bucket where God's provision stops with us. The second barrier that I've identified for Christians that prevent them, hold them back from giving at a maximum level beyond the first one, which is a plan, is their community. Here's what I mean by that. You're never going to give to your full potential without others around you that are also generous, that are going to spur you on to greater giving and generosity. Unless you have that reinforcement of others who have a vision for their giving and they're actively looking to give God's money to the things on the heart of God, you will never give to your full potential. So look to surround yourself with people that can encourage you and spur you on in your gift of giving. I hope that's an encouragement to you. All right, back to the phones. We're going to go to Mississippi. George, I think you have a comment on this idea of a money market versus a CD. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I do, of course. And real quick, like on 4 of my CDs, I like the idea of having a locked-in rate of a percentage, and I'll set them up for 8 months. Now, most banks want to go APY. Well, I've got my banks on 4 of my CDs set up to where my interest compounds monthly and goes into a money market that draws 4%.
Nice.
The thing about the CDs, when you set your CDs up, do set your money market up with a good interest rate just to have some backup cash for an emergency.
Yeah.
But make it aware your banker, if I need this money in this CD, I can borrow it back from you at from 1% to 2% over what you're paying me in case of an emergency coming up that you need that money.
Mm.
And the bank would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not all CDs are created equal, so you'll need to check with your bank. I love the idea that you're pointing out, and I think I failed to mention this, one of the key distinctions between the money market or the savings and the CD is that the CD is going to have a locked-in rate for whatever that length of time is on the CD versus the money market or the savings, which is going to be variable and will move up and down with interest rates. We're at the, basically, according to Fed Chairman Powell's testimony before Congress even last week, his Humphrey Hawkins testimony, he said, we're at the top end. Rates aren't going any higher. They're going to start coming down. Now, they're not going to be quick to lower them just because of how robust this economy has remained and the fact that inflation's been more stubborn than they had hoped. But we know the next move is down. So those high yields on those money markets and savings are going to be coming down. That's good news if you're a borrower. That's bad news if you're a saver. What I would recommend is maybe just one slight change on that, George, is that, you know, I would look to set aside your emergency fund, not in a CD. Let's put that in a high yield savings. You know, you can get 4.5, 4.75, even 5% right now with an online bank, FDIC insured, up to, I would say, 3 to 6 months expenses. That's your emergency fund. Let's keep that liquid. And then money beyond that, where we've got less than 5 years of a time horizon, we're not going to invest it in stocks and bonds. I think a CD ladder is a great idea. And now might be the time to go ahead and lock that in while these interest rates are high. But George, thank you for calling. That was a great additional word on that. We appreciate you weighing in, sir. Let's go. We're going to stay in Mississippi. Rick, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding fees for a financial advisor. I see that the fee scale slides depending upon the amount invested. For a person just starting out, what's a reasonable fee that one can expect per year or per deposit for a small amount starting out?
Yeah, it's going to depend, to your point, on whether or not or how much you have in terms of what they call AUM, assets under management. If you're looking for what's called discretionary money management, so think in terms of an investment advisor, typically a registered investment advisor, who's managing the money, who has discretion, meaning he or she can make the buy and sell decisions in light of your goals and objectives. Hopefully, they're also a fiduciary, which just simply means they have a legal obligation to put your interests above their own, but they're the ones managing the money. That's typically done on an assets under management percentage. And so it's an annual percentage that's a fee charged to the account, usually on a quarterly basis based on the portfolio size, which does put the emphasis on them growing the account because the way they get a raise is by your account value increasing. Typically, I would say, those range from maybe 0.75 if you've got quite a bit, several million dollars, up to maybe 1.5%, probably not more than that, 1.75 at the very top end, but usually between 75 basis points and 150 basis points would be typical for that service, depending upon how much you're asking them to manage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so the 150 basis points are 1.5% on a per quarter basis. Is that what I'm understanding?
So it'd be over an annual charge of 1% paid quarterly. And so, 1/4 of that every quarter. So they take the percentage, they take the value of the account times 1% divided by 4, and then they get paid in advance for the next 3 months would be typically the way that works.
And that's going to be independent of any other sales charges that the product you buy might have.
That's exactly right. So inside the investments they're buying, I mean, there may be a small transaction fee if they're buying a stock, if they're buying a mutual fund or an exchange traded fund, then there's the fee inside that for, you know, the manager who's overseeing that ETF or mutual fund. And that's going to be lower if it's a passive investment like an index ETF. It's going to be higher if it's an actively managed mutual fund. But that is on top of the fee the advisor is charging to manage it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for your time and taking my call. I appreciate it. Have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate your call, sir. Thanks for being on the program today. Hey, we've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000. The number to call is 800-525-7000. It looks like I've got three lines open, and we've still got one more segment, so I've got room for a couple of additional questions. Plus, I'll share quickly the other three barriers to giving at a maximum level. We want you to be a generous giver. There's probably a few things that typically stand in your way as a believer. I'll mention three more of those right after the break, plus your questions just around the corner. Stay with us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
I know darkness is in the world, but that don't mean I gotta kick open my front door and welcome it. Why would we continue to tolerate wickedness at any level? God knows the scope of your access and impact. He knows that. But he does expect you to be his ambassador in your world.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Thanks for being on the program today or for listening to the program today. We're grateful to have you along with us. Let's head back to the phones. We'll go to Alabama next. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. I have a question, and I would like to hear some feedback from maybe some bankers when I'm through. I went to my bank the other day. They had a sign up that said 4.9 APY CD for 5 months. So I said, I'd like to buy one of those. So I bought a $50,000 one. And as I signed the papers, I started walking away and I looked down and it said 4.83. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I thought this was 4.9. She said, well, I don't know about that. So she called somebody and they said, no, the APY is the 4.9. It actually is going to pay 4.83. And I said, well, I don't want it.
Yeah.
She said, well, let me call you. Let me call you back. And so they called back and said, yeah, this is going to pay 4.83. I said, well, I don't want it. So the manager called, and he said, you'll have to pay a penalty. And I said, sir, you know as well as I do, penalties can be waived. He said, let me call you back. So he called me back and said, you're getting 4.9. I checked it the other day, and I'm getting 4.83. Do all banks do this?
Yeah, you know, it's the difference between APR and APY. So the annual percentage rate and then the annual percentage yield. And it has to do with the compounding. So APR represents the yearly rate changed for the money, but it includes fees, but not the compounding. APY is the interest you'll earn on the savings, and it takes compounding into account. And so they typically will promote the APY because it factors in the compounding effect of you being paid the interest on a periodic basis, and then that interest continuing to work for you over the balance of the length of the term, whereas the APR is more of the stated interest rate that they're actually paying without that compounding in place. Does that make sense?
Well, what you're saying is that when the CD matures, it's going to pay 4.9. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's the way it should work, is that if you hold to maturity, because you're going to get credits for, and a lot of this comes down to how that the compounding works, but as you get credits for the periodic interest credits, and then those continue to grow at the APR, the total that you should receive over a year's time is that 4.9, the APY, even though they're only crediting you 4.8. So you've got to factor in the compounding on the interest that's being paid.
Okay, this is 6 months. So I have no way of understanding how to compute that. So I don't know whether they're paying me 4.9 or 4.83. It's just, he kept saying, this is just a small amount of money, Jerry. I said, well, a small amount of money. What if it's $1 million CD?
Yeah.
He said, well, you know. So yeah. They're frowning on me because I'm questioning this and acting like I'm, you know, it's just a small amount of money. I said, yeah, until you do that to 100,000 people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, you're perfect. I mean, this is God's money that you're managing, Jerry, and so every dollar matters. And so you want to be shrewd, as the Bible encourages us to be, as we're managing God's money. So I think what you're probably going to find is, hopefully, and you may want to ask this question, if they're crediting the interest, let's say monthly, on that at 4.83, that as that monthly interest continues to compound over the rest of the length of the loan, that after you hold to maturity over that 6 month period and you calculate the total amount that of the value that you're getting back as you redeem the CD, that it will come out at that 4.9%. I think that's what you're going to find. I mean, you're going to, you know, you could run this by them and get them to run a table showing exactly how that's going to work on their particular product, but that's probably what you're experiencing, is the difference between the APR, the published interest rate, and the APY, which factors in that compounding.
Okay. That's very good.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Hey, if you decide you want to venture out into the world of online banking, and you may not, but if you did, you could go to bankrate.com and, you know, find who's offering the very best interest rates right now. It changes periodically, but, you know, that's going to allow you to find that bank that can give you the very best rate of return, you know, for that 6 month period. And you'll find that it's well over 5%. Now, you may say, Rob, I'm not interested in online banking, and I would certainly understand that, but if you are, what you will find is, you know, I'm on there right now, you know, looking at 6 month CDs, and, you know, you can get 5.15% today for a year. You can get more than that for 6 months.
Okay. That's
all
good,
right?
To know.
Yeah, 5.3 is, looks like the highest interest rate being offered right now with an FDIC-insured bank. Hey, thanks for your call, Jerry. We appreciate it. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Fred. How can I help, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you for what you do. Listen to you as much as I can.
Thank you.
Fixing to be 57. Wife's been retired for a while. I was looking to retire at 60. And I wanted to get your thoughts on Social Security as far as when to start drawing it, if it would be, I guess with the way things are and no guarantees, in my mind, my wife and I were talking about, you know, like starting early, and we do have a financial advisor, and he's looking at, you know, try to maximize and pushing that out until like 70. But I guess in my mind, again, it just, you know, with the way things are, it just seemed like it'd be smarter to start taking it early. But yeah, I want to get your thoughts.
Sure. It's a great question. When you say the way that things are, I suspect I know what you mean, but you just mean kind of the state of the country and the economy and the fact that the Social Security Trust Fund is going to run out in 2035. I mean, those are the kinds of things you're referring to?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. You know, here's the thing. I mean, I hear you on that, and I share those concerns. Now, keep in mind, even if the trust fund runs to zero, they'd still be able to pay 70% of today's benefits. So it doesn't mean that everybody's out. But my opinion is, and I think most economists would be, that they're not going to let that happen. It's either going to result in higher FICA taxes, or they're going to continue to push out full retirement age, or both. Those are the two levers that can be pulled fairly easily to shore up that Social Security Trust Fund. It's too much of a political football for somebody to drop that and let those benefits be reduced $1. And so that's not going to happen when push comes to shove, in my opinion. The downside of taking it at 62, Fred, is that you're going to get a 30% reduction in that permanently. And so for folks that are either going to continue to work or have the ability to pull the money another way and can let that money continue to grow at about 8% a year up to full retirement age to get your full benefit, I'm still on board with that. I even like the idea that it sounds like your advisor is encouraging, that you'd wait all the way to age 70 if you have the ability to do that. And the reason is that if you're in good health, and of course the Lord tarries, and if he doesn't, then none of this matters. But if he does, you know, it's going to take you about between 11 and 12 years to get paid back. So that's 81, 82 years old. To get paid back at the higher amount to make up for everything you gave up by not taking it at full retirement age. But then from 82 beyond, however long the Lord has for you, you've got that check, you know, that's about 25% higher than you would have had for the rest of your life. And that could really be helpful down the road as healthcare costs continue to increase. If you guys need skilled care or nursing home, you know, things like that. So I think this idea that we could get an 8% annual increase guaranteed, which you're not going to get in the market, guaranteed at least, you know, I like that a lot, even despite some of the challenges we have out there. Now, you may say, I'm going to split the difference and just take it at full retirement age. I'm not going to take the 30% haircut at 62. But I'm not going to wait till age 70, and I'm going to kind of split the difference. Or you may say, I just want to start getting my check as soon as possible because I don't trust where all this is going. And that's, I think, a discernment question that you need to pray through between you and your wife and the Lord. If it were me, I'd fall more toward the end of what your advisor's telling you. Despite all the things you're concerned about, I'd still let that check continue to grow if you don't need the money.
All right. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you for your time.
All right. Absolutely, Fred. Thanks for your call. Let's finish today in Louisiana. Hi, Archie. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. West, and thank you for taking my call. Love your show. I have about $900,000 in Truewealth. Put it in there. It's one of the funds you recommend on your program, and they've done really well for me. And I have another $900,000 about in a different company. And of course, this company is not a Christian company, and they also don't allow me to directly tithe from the account, and which I do like because I'm in the 70s. And so my thought, though, and I'll save $2,500 a year if I combine and put all of it in Truewealth. But my problem is I worry about the liabilities of maybe losing all of it, having all my eggs in one basket. And so, yeah. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think you need to start with that. I mean, listen, if you have a conviction from the Lord on this, do it. If you're feeling like you could go either direction, I'd back up and let's look at the mix of investments in that particular fund that you're in, because I would agree with you. I wouldn't want you to be too highly concentrated. Let's do this. I'm out of time today, but I'd love to talk a bit more about this with you. So stay right there and we'll talk off the air. Folks, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Thanks to my team today, Robert Youngblood, Taylor Standrich, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without those fine gentlemen and the rest of the team that makes this happen each day. Enjoy the rest of your day. Come back and join us tomorrow, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.